John Bear Mitchell, not the Lewis in English. The Dilda Bamok, Moe, Nagakakagus. You jolly the Hadam, Ali Skij in a way. You jolly the Hadam, Gizzy Skij in what way. Thank you for letting me share that with you. I just went to the South and thanked the spirit of the White Eagle for, in our way, it's a prayer to them. And then I went to the creator of all and then Mother Earth. Then I thanked all our relatives who were before me, who are no longer here, for bringing us medicine, for providing us with the ability to still be here through food, through water, through prayer, and basically told them that I love them and thank you. So that song is a song I wrote based on an old ancient chant that we don't do too often anymore. So thank you for letting me share that. And I want to talk about, I themed today's talk as tell your story, because when we stop telling our story is when we stop living. When we stop writing our next sentence, we stop living. When we start letting somebody else create our story, we've given up. There was a storyteller. His name was Chebalok. He was in my song. Chebalok loved to tell stories. Chebalok was also very egocentric. He thought that if he stopped telling stories, then the world would end. He thought he was the sole keeper of the stories. And the reason he thought that was because people gave him that attention. Because the listeners wanted to listen and didn't want to speak. They were more comfortable with hearing than they were with vocalizing. But there's always a first person, right? Somebody, there's a first person that tried lobster. Probably wasn't us. We didn't use lobster for food. But there's always a first to try something or to do something. Chebelak was our first storyteller. He was our first storyteller. He goes way, way, way back. But he was also, in our traditions and in our stories, the man that forgot to die. He forgot to pass on to the other side of camp. And again, it was because he felt so self-important that if he did, so much would be lost. He had a spot every single morning where he used to love to tell stories. He would lean against this stump that was really high, kind of sit on it a little bit. He had his feet dug in the ground. Kids used to like to come when he wasn't there and sit there and think, I'm getting as tall as Chebelak. I can finally sit here. You know, I can reach the top of this stump. But it took them a while. But every single morning, when the weather allowed, Chebelak was sitting there waiting for people to come down and tell stories. They wanted to hear his story. The kids would grab their bread in the morning or whatever they were eating, and they would go down to this little knoll, because Chebelak also was old. He was telling stories to children of people. He told stories to children and children and children going back many generations. And so he outlived his entire family. And he was homesick in his own home, place he'd been forever. Because home is the people. And his people, his family were gone. So he decided that he would just sit there every single morning and just tell these stories. But he also was thinking of a plan. He knew that the way things were going was not sustainable. He knew that. He knew that if people didn't start telling the stories, then many stories would be lost, because there were too many stories for him just to keep. There were too many stories for him to tell. But they were favorite stories that people liked to hear. And he would stick to those. But he knew that that wasn't beneficial to the people. So one morning, some kids showed up a little bit early, because he always lived off to the side of the village too. He didn't live in the village. So they showed up to his place not far from the main village where his lodge was, which was over a knoll of tall pines, so that when he would sit there, that almost people would sit on the hill and almost be facing him. It wasn't a flat ground. These boys noticed that Chebelak wasn't awake. His flap on his door was not open. Our lodge is always faced to the east. And the reason for that was because that's where the sun comes up. And we all know that even in the summer, it gets cold in a tent in the morning. You open your lodge door and it lets the heat in. It warms it. His flap was still closed. And they thought the worst. What do we do? I don't know, but I'm not going to knock on his door. You know, he was kind of an old man. He really didn't care what he looked like anymore. He said, I live my life. I'm not looking for a bride. I have nobody to impress. I have nobody to please but myself. And he became sort of curmudgeon-y, if that's even a word. I think you understand what I'm saying, if it's not. And so people were kind of just not around him. The younger ones especially were not around him a lot. Well, this particular morning, these two boys, they decided, like, well, who's going to go knock on his door? And one boy, he was 13 years old, and he said, I'm going to go knock on the door. I'm not afraid, because I know I can run faster than him. He gets mad at me. So he went down and he banged on the side of the lodge. Boom, boom, boom. Nothing. No noise. He wasn't going to go in there. If the old man, you know, Chebelak didn't rustle or come out or yell, he was going to go get adults to come down and check on Chebelak. Boom, 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 he banged on the door again, and he waited. And he could hear a voice inside. What do you want? And the boy was like, whew, he's still in there. Well, Chebelak, are you okay? This is the first time in my life that I've come down in the morning, and you're not here, and it's a beautiful day. I want to hear a story, start my day. And Chebelak said, Chquigus, Abin, come here, son, and sit down. So the boy went in, and he sat down. And when he sat down, Jabalik was still laying in his bed. His bed was low to the ground, spikes almost of wood driven into the ground, suspended with other sticks so that he was off the ground, covered with grass mats. He was laying on there. It looked pretty cozy. And the boy said, "Grandfather, why are you not out telling stories? We look forward to it every single day. We were really worried about you." And Jabalik said, "You know, I've been telling stories to your grandmother and her grandmother and her grandmother, and I'm tired. I've been around for a long time. And I think I've stuck around a long time because, honestly, I really thought that I was the one to deliver the message every single morning, every single day. And I realize, Gus," he said, "I realize over this last year that everybody else has the ability to tell a story. And I've just been blocking them because I exist. They're afraid if they tell a story, they're not going to tell it like me. They might mess it up. But every story is held by the teller of that story. Every personality that tells a story is different. And as long as the main points, the morals, the lessons, the values of the story are still there, then you should tell it any way you want. And I've come to realize this. Nobody's going to tell stories like me. Nobody's going to tell stories like you. You have to do it. You have to practice it. But I have one story I want to tell tomorrow morning, Gus. Son," he said, "I want you to go out to the village, and I want you to tell everybody, if they could make it in the morning, I'd love to tell a story that's very important. It's one that's never been heard before. I need to tell this story. People need to hear it. And if people are traveling to other villages, upriver or downriver, or even in other rivers, just put word out. The more people that come, the better it will be. But there's one caveat, is that whoever comes to listen to the story tomorrow morning has to agree they have to tell the story that I tell at least 10 times. At least to 10 different people that didn't make it, that couldn't make it." And the boy said, "Okay, Grandfather, I will go out and I'll deliver your message." And he did. And all that day, people did all their work as a hunter-gatherer society, that if we didn't work in a warm weather day creating food for the winter, we knew it would be a day at the end of March that we would be hungry. Starvation month. We had to create enough food for 3 meals a day for 7 days for villages of 500 people to be put in storage. As a hunter-gatherer society, we didn't have a day to waste. Everybody was doing their chores, fishing, smoking their meat and fish, hunting and gathering, repairing nets and weirs, making clothing for the winter. And they did it that particular day a little quieter, wondering, really, what is the message? Is it a good message? They didn't feel good about it. They were kind of nervous. They didn't know what was going to come from that message. Well, finally, the morning arrived. And when the morning arrived, sun came up, and Jabalik couldn't believe his eyes. As he was sitting there, leaning against his log, heels dug into the ground in the very familiar, worn-out spot that he had stood many, 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 many years before, he looked around. He turned around behind him. On the sides. He couldn't believe it. He could not see any ground at all. So many people had come to hear the story. He's never had people behind him. They usually were in front of him. But there were so many people, they stood all around him. They sat on the ground. And he knew this was the time. He knew it was the time to tell this last story, because it ultimately would be his last story. Because he started off by saying, Nilmausuinuwuk, my people. It's time for me to go. I held stories for so long. Stories that teach us about the animals. Why do they look the way they do? How do we live in harmony with one another? I told you stories about why the wind blows. I told you stories about the mighty Gluskab, or Gluskabe, who walked this land with our people many, many years ago, taught us many things that we know. Also taught us many things that we shouldn't do by his example of doing them. I've told you stories about how rivers were created and mountains stand and why they stand. I've told you stories about the sky, the star people, the places we go when we pass on from here, the things that happen to us in life that we need to learn about. And I thought about this and thought about this. And he said, let me put it this way. Let me give you a visual. You're all sitting in front of me and behind me. You all have stories. Some of you are afraid to tell them. Some of you only tell them to a few people. But as a group, as humans, we have collective stories. We have stories that are meaningful to all of us. They guide us. They give us knowledge. They give us our teachings. The Creator's law that's greater than us that we have to abide by. And I see all these stories as fireflies, as lightning bugs. I visualize them as these lights floating all over your heads. You can't reach them, you can't see them. But I imagine them like this. And I know this for a fact. I see some of these fireflies, they're bright. They burn bright in the sky. There's others that are not as bright. There's others that are dulling. And there are those that are almost out. They're almost extinguished. And the sad thing about this is I know why these fireflies are all of different brilliance. Because the ones that are bright are the ones that I love to retell. In my mind, I grab them and pull them down and tell them a lot. Because they're my favorite. They help us learn. I'm comfortable with them. And then there are others, like I said, the ones that are kind of not as bright, but not definitely dim, are ones I only tell once in a while because I'm requested. Other people like them. They're not my favorite, maybe, but I tell them. And I give them a little bit of light when I tell the story, so it brightens them. And then there are those ones that are dim, and I almost forgot those stories. They're almost not there anymore. I almost forgot about them. And there are those that don't even light anymore. They're gone. Those stories will never have, ever again. They will not exist. They will not come back. And they were so meaningful. They had so much that they held, so much information, so much knowledge. But they're gone. They no longer give off light, and they never will again. And the older I get, the more I see that I'm not telling these stories. I'm not giving them light and luminance. So I know now it's time for me to leave. I must go. So today is the last day you will hear me tell stories. And I've made the decision that I must go. And as he's given this message, he started to become translucent, almost see-through, like he was fading away before their very eyes. But he kept talking. He said, you need to start telling your own story. Be comfortable enough to tell your own story. Share your life with others. And you'll gain confidence in talking about stories of your family, and then stories of your community, and then stories of humanity. Tell them. Give them brightness. Give them luminance. Never let a story fade away. When you're sitting there and you're listening to others and you remember a story, tell it. Because if you say, well, I can't really remember that story and what it means or every aspect or every detail of it, it's okay. Tell what you remember of it, because then you give it new life and you'll remember more. We don't want these stories to go away. We don't want to have to compete with other people for knowledge. We don't want our elders to pass on to the other side of camp and no longer be of this earth and wonder, what was that story? I wish I asked them. And as elders, share stories, even if you think people are not listening. Say them anyway, because people are listening. And we need to get these stories out there. By this time, Chebelok was off the ground, and his mist, his light was turning white. He was becoming something else. He wasn't the shape of a human anymore. And everybody was watching in awe. They'd never seen this transpire before. And as he got higher and higher, he said, you know, it's okay to pray. He said, pray. You don't have to ask for something when you pray, he said. You can always thank. You can just do a thanks prayer. Thank you, Creator, for letting me wake up this morning, he said. Thank you, Creator, for letting me go to bed tonight. Thank you for giving me this day. Please offer me another one. But if you do ask for something, because we all need something once in a while, I'll bring you the answer to your prayer, he said. I will deliver the message. I won't give you the answer. I will deliver the message. But if you turn from me when I'm delivering this message, you may not ever get the message, or it may be a long time before I bring it back. I'll be busy because I've made a choice. And what I want to do in the spirit world is to deliver messages of hope, of dreams, and to fulfill people's hearts and minds with comfort. That's my job. That's what I chose. And at that point in time, it became completely obvious to everybody listening what this word Chebelok even meant. They thought it was his name. But what it means is the spirit of the white eagle. In some places, they might call it an angel. This white being with wings that brings you comfort, that takes you across from this earth to the next, that brings you the answers to your prayers, visits you in your dreams at night and in the daytime too. Chebelok is our helper. And the story is told for one reason. Again, always tell the stories. Never hold them back. That wisdom you have, you may not consider it wisdom, but it is. Those messages that you hold are meant for other people. The lessons we learn are lessons we need to hand on to the next generation below us. But we can even tell it to people in our generations, because they'll spread the word. And the message will get out, and it will be known. And that's the story of Chebelok, the first storyteller, who encouraged us to tell our story, because then we keep humanity in check. And we never let those stories and those lights go out. So thank you for being here for that story and listening. I do have a few more minutes. So would you like another song? Yes. Okay. I didn't even know if I could sing this morning. That's pretty good. I could at least get that out. And drum's still holding up. Just really quickly, if you're wondering about my shirt, it's called a ribbon shirt. And it's a pretty international shirt. In other words, when European explorers came here to dominate our land and to try to remove us from our land, they came to a continent that's known as North America that had 23 countries on it. There are 23 distinct indigenous nations in North America, all with different cultural practices, all with different looks, all with different languages, and all with different systems of government. And we were categorized as one people. And our nation, our continent of many nations, was destroyed as the people were destroyed. And in the early 1970s, as a result of all the women's movements, the women's suffrage movement, which created many other movements within society, including the civil rights movement. And after the civil rights movement, indigenous people started to get involved in looking for our rights in the early 1970s. And finally, in 1964, the state of Maine made us citizens. We were the second to last state to do that. And we could legally vote in 1964. So the tribes got together with other tribes and other nations, tribal nations, and said, we need to have universal symbols so that we have a cloth item, we have a food item, and we have songs that are intertribal among many tribes, but similar. And they came up with a shirt that had ribbons, because we all have colors that mean something to us. All our colors among the many nations of tribes in North America, although our colors are the same, we have red, black, green, yellow, white, they have different meanings to us. For me, as a storyteller, this shirt has our logo, our traditional double curve of people of the water, storyteller, symbol on it. And I have my favorite colors, black, the color of the animals, red, the color of creation, and white, the color of the creator, which are my favorite colors together. And so this shirt was made for me by a Maliseet elder, who made several of my different kinds of ribbon shirts that I wear at different functions and different types of ribbon shirts. If I'm just drumming, I'm not going to wear my storytelling shirts. But that's what this means. So all tribes, men will wear a ribbon shirt. Women will wear a ribbon dress or a ribbon skirt. The foods we have are mostly plant-oriented and bread-oriented. And the songs we have are intertribal that all tribes sing as universal songs. So that came out of the early 1970s movement. And from that movement, we were able to acquire our religious freedoms again. In 1979, then President Carter signed into law the American Indian Religious Freedom Act, which gave us our language and our ceremonies back to us legally. However, there's only two countries on the continent that haven't apologized for taking them away. Australia and the United States are the only two. So that's my shirt. My drum is just a drum made out of elk hide, because we can't get caribou anymore. It's a caribou moved up to Canada because of the health care. And so the best we can do is to acquire elk hide from Wyoming or places like that. So I always trade a moose hide for some elk hides. And that's what I make my drums out of, which are very similar to the caribou hides. This song was sung many times on this land we're standing on right now. It's called the Welcome Song. And it's sung between two chiefs. One chief would sing and dance towards the visiting chief. The host chief would then come and dance and offer a gift. So here's their two song. The two verses are two different chiefs singing to each other. And this wasn't if we were driving through. This is if we're coming for ceremony. Aliyah, Aliyah, kwa no de. 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 And then the host chief would come and say this. Hey, kwa no da. Hey, kwa no da na. Hey, kwa no da. Hey, kwa no da na. Hey, kwa no da. Hey, kwa no da na. Hey, kwa no da. Iguanu dana ha aliyah aliyah kwa no de aliyah aliyah kwa no de aliyah aliyah kwa no de aliyah Aliyah kwa no de, hey kwa no da, hey kwa no da na, hey kwa no da, hey kwa no da na, hey kwa no da, hey kwa no da na, hey kwa no da, hey kwa no da na. Thank you for having me.